I want to continue in this passage this morning, John chapter 16, and we're going to look down at verses 7 to 14. John 16, verses 7 to 14. Why don't you stand with me and we'll read these verses together. I know these microphones sound a little bit, so how do I sound? I sound more bassy and deep? Do I sound more treble-ish? More treble-ish? How do I sound, Mark? More treble-ish or more bassy? More treble? Because we can adjust it a little bit if you think I just sound weird that bothers you. I'm okay? All right. John 16, and we're going to read here verses 7 to 14. John 16, verses 7 through 14. The Bible says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient. It is good for you. It's profitable for you. It's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you." Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word that you've given to us. We believe this book was inspired and God-given, that the Spirit of God told men what to write down. And we have this book, Father, inspired by you. It's your words. We have a wonderful promise here in this chapter of the Comforter, the Holy Spirit coming to be with us as believers. And we thank you so much for that. Teach us something this morning and convict us, Lord, this morning. If there's areas of our life we need to be convicted about and changed, help us today, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. From this passage this morning, I want to continue talking to you about the Holy Spirit this morning. And I want to talk to you about these three words: Comforter, Reprover, Teacher. Comforter, Reprover, Teacher. We have the wonderful promise in the Gospel of John that Jesus would send the Holy Spirit to dwell in us. He sends the Spirit to live inside of all those who have believed on Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Hey, that ought to encourage us that we're not alone. You know, we're not alone as we live this life and we try to live the Christian journey and in our walk with God, our relationship with God, and live out the Christian life, you know, in our community and in our neighborhood and amongst our family. We're not alone. If we're saved, we're indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. We're indwelt by Him. We're sealed by the Spirit of God from the moment we put our faith in Jesus Christ. That seal is something that can never be broken. It can never be broken. I am saved and I am secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at a couple of verses with me, please, if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 16. We'll keep coming back to John this morning, John 16, but we're going to look at a few other places as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 16 tells us this: "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" That's a great verse. Written to believers, hey, don't you know you're the temple of God? God's presence is actually literally in you. God's Spirit lives in you. Wherever you go, He goes with you. That's a great verse. Turn over a few pages to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. And look there at verses 21 and 22. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verses 21 and 22. The Bible says here, "Now he which established us, which with you in Christ and hath anointed you is God." Verse 22. "Who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts." The Bible says we're sealed by the Spirit of God. It's a seal that can never be broken. It uses the word earnest. The word earnest is almost like a down payment. The word doesn't get used maybe as much anymore, but sometimes, you know, if a person was going to make a down payment for a home or something, sometimes they referred to it as earnest money. It's the earnest. It's like the down payment. It's the thing to guarantee that this is, you know, this is going to be yours. It's going to be purchased and so on. The Bible helps to teach us here that we're sealed by the Spirit of God and that there's an earnest that's been made. There's been a down payment, if you will. There's a guarantee, if you will. And I love the fact that the Spirit of God dwells in us as believers because it ought to give us confidence and assurance that once we've been sealed, once we've got the Spirit of God within us, nothing can ever change. He can never be taken away from us. You know, God is never going to send me to hell as a child of God. There's that guarantor, there's that earnest, there's that down payment. There's the fact that the Spirit of God dwells within you and me if we've been saved. God would never send His Spirit to hell. And so I know that I can never go to hell because I've been saved and I'm sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. Turn with me back to Romans chapter 8, if you would. In Corinthians, just the book before that in the Bible is the book of Romans. The book of Romans, look at chapter 8 and verse 16. Romans chapter 8 and verse 16. Because I have the Holy Spirit of God living in me, it gives me that assurance and it gives me that confidence that I am a child of God. Romans chapter 8 and verse 16 says this, the Spirit also beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. That's another great verse. The Spirit of God living within my spirit, it bears witness to me. It bears testimony to me. It constantly is there to remind me and assure me that, hey, I'm a child of God and that can never change. I am His. I belong to God. I've got God's Spirit living in me. Thankfully, He indwells us. The Spirit of God comes to live inside of us. What's another thing the Spirit of God does? We are also empowered by the Holy Spirit of God to be witnesses for Christ. We know that. Not going to focus on that though this morning. What's another thing the Spirit of God does? We know that we can obtain victory over the flesh. We can bear spiritual fruit in our lives as we abide in Christ and as we walk in the Spirit. That's how we're going to bear the fruit of the Spirit in our life. So the Spirit of God can help us. He empowers us for witnessing. He can help us to bear the fruit of the Spirit in our life. He seals us. He indwells us and He helps to give that assurance in our hearts that we were saved and we're the children of God and we're secure in Christ Jesus. I want you to turn back with me though, if you would, to John chapter 16. And from this little passage, from those 7-8 verses that we read in John 16, I want to share with you three things quickly from this chapter that the Word of God says about the Holy Spirit. Number one, He's our comforter. Number two, He's our reprover. He reproves us. And number three, He's our teacher. He's our teacher. Let me share with you a few thoughts about those. Number one, the Holy Spirit of God, our comforter. The Holy Spirit of God, our comforter. Look again at verse number 7. John 16 and verse number 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. Listen, Jesus knew that life would not always be easy for His disciples. There are troubles that come. There are trials that come. There are difficulties that come. And not just for those disciples, but for every one of us. As followers of Jesus Christ, there are going to be times when life is not easy. And not even just because we're Christians, but because life can be hard sometimes. Life will not always be easy. But listen, because I know the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, Christ dwells in my heart. His wonderful Holy Spirit lives inside of me. Turn with me, if you would, back to 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. Turn with me. I want you to see it. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. The Holy Spirit of God is with me all the time. He is there to comfort me in my trials. He's there with me in my tribulations. He is there to calm me in the middle of life's storms. Look what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and look at verses 3, 4, and 5. It says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Isn't that good? He's the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Verse 4, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. I'm glad that Christ didn't just leave, but he left us the Holy Spirit. And it's the comforter that lives inside of us. Hey, through days of pressure, through the death of a close loved one, through days of opposition and obstacles, God's Holy Spirit has comforted me every time. At times when I felt the pressure squeezing in on me, God's Spirit has helped me. Through the death of loved ones in my life, God's comforter, God's Holy Spirit has been with me and helped me. Through times of opposition, God's Spirit has helped me. Listen, Jesus does not leave his followers without help. Go back to John chapter 14, if you will. John chapter 14. You can make sure your pages aren't sticking together this morning. All right, John chapter 14. And let's look there at verses 16 and 17. He doesn't leave his followers without help. He's given us the Holy Spirit to dwell in us and to be our comforter. John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17 puts it this way. It says, and I will pray the Father, Jesus saying, I'll pray to the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you for how long? Forever, right? Forever. He'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. You know what? I've got something that the world doesn't have. And that's the Holy Spirit of God. The world doesn't have the Holy Spirit of God. That's why the world... Listen, the Bible tells us that we as believers, we sorrow as those who have hope. Or sorry, that the world sorrows as those who have no hope. That's why things are different for a believer. That's why things are different for a Christian. Because when we know Jesus Christ, God's Spirit lives within us. The Comforter lives within us. And when we go through trials, when we lose a loved one and know that they're saved and know that they're a believer, we know they're in heaven. We may sorrow and we may grieve, but we don't sorrow like those who have no hope. Because things are different for us. We have the Comforter. We have the Spirit of God within us. I'm glad I've got something that they don't have. We may go through trials. We may go through difficulties. You know, none of us are perfect. We'll all struggle with the things of life like everybody does. But as a believer, you've got God's Spirit to help you. God's Spirit can help us work out our problems. God's Spirit can help teach us when we need enlightenment and understanding. God's Spirit can help to diffuse things in our homes when we need it, because God's Spirit lives in me, and God's Spirit lives in my wife, and God's Spirit lives in my children that have been saved. And it makes a difference. It makes a difference. Listen, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, then the Holy Spirit has come to live in you. And he's there to run alongside of us. He's there to lift us up when we fall. He's there to strengthen us when we're weak or fainting. He's there to give us peace when our heart is troubled. It's the Comforter, it's the Holy Spirit of God that allows Christians to have peace in the midst of problems. It's the Spirit of God that allows us to have sanity in the midst of sorrow. Because we've got the Comforter living within us. John chapter 14. John 14, look what it says down in verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And then look over at John 16. John 16, verses 6 and 7. Jesus was speaking to his disciples when he said, but because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. You know what? Because we have the Spirit of God living within us, as a believer, we can experience peace in the midst of problems and difficulties in life. I'm glad the Spirit lives inside of me. Aren't you glad that the Spirit of God lives inside of you, those of you that are saved? He lives in you. He dwells in you. And you say, I don't know that I'm saved. Well, you need to be saved. Because it makes the difference for eternity, but it makes the difference for now too. It makes a difference in this life when we know that we've got God's Spirit, God's presence dwelling in us, living in us, helping us, being with us all the time in the things that we go through. God doesn't want you to have to live this life alone. He wants you to live it with the Comforter, the Holy Spirit of God living inside of you. So I say, number one, this morning, that the Holy Spirit is our Comforter. Number two, the Holy Spirit is our reprover. Reprover. I'm not sure if that's in the dictionary or not, but it's a word now, okay? He reproves us. So He is our reprover. Our reprover. It's what reproofs are about. Corrections. Reprove. Rebuke. He is our reprover. Look at what the Bible says in John 16. Look at verses 8 through 11. John chapter 16, verses 8 through 11. It says, and when He is come, He will reprove the world of, what's that next word? Sin. And of righteousness and of judgment. It says of sin because they believe not on me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. The Greek word for reprove also means to convict. To convict, it's a legal term. When the Holy Spirit is come, He will convict the world in the way that a judge or a prosecuting attorney would present evidence to bring a conviction. The Holy Spirit of God is working to reprove, to bring evidence in our hearts, to bring us to a place of conviction, which of course will lead us to make a decision. You know, there has to be conviction in a person's heart before they'll make a decision to turn to Jesus Christ and place their faith in Him. They have to be convicted of their need for the Savior. Without conviction, there's no conversion. There has to be conviction in a person's heart. And what is it that does that? It's not just going to be man's, persuasive words. Are we trying to persuade men with the gospel? Yes, we are. The Bible tells us that. But what is it? Who is it that really can do that work of reproving and convicting a person's heart so they realize they need the Savior, Jesus Christ? It's the Spirit of God that does that. And we may never know how the Spirit of God is working in someone's heart. You know, there may be times where you and I are afraid to speak to someone because we just look at the outside of them and think, boy, they look so big and mean and scary. How could I tell them about Jesus Christ? But we may never know that neighbor or that co-worker, we may never know about what the Spirit of God has been doing in their life or been doing in their heart to try to convict them of sin or convince them of their need for the Savior. It's the Spirit of God who convicts, He reproves. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Is the greatest sin the sin of unbelief? It certainly could be, right? The sin of unbelief. The unbelief. The unpardonable sin. The only sin I think that God won't pardon one day is if people will reject Jesus Christ. Because there's a God who loves and will forgive sinners. But if a person will reject the wooing, the convicting, the reproving of the Holy Spirit of God in that person's heart, sadly, they'll be lost. Is the worst sin we can commit that of denying God's Son? Rejecting the sacrifice, rejecting the shed blood of the Son of God who left heaven and came down to earth to die for our sins so that we could be saved? Listen, the worst possible sin we could ever commit is to reject when the Spirit of God is trying to convict us, to reject the gospel of Jesus Christ, the one who loved us and died for us. The Spirit of God is working to convict. Refusing to believe on and trust Christ may be the worst sin because we're rejecting what God the Father and God the Son did for us. Listen, God did what He did so we can be saved freely by His grace. And when we just have no care for that, no concern for that, and we just totally reject that, what a sad thing it is. In John 15, 22, Jesus said this, "If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not sinned." In other words, they would not even know sin. It says, "But now they have no cloak, nothing to cover up, nothing to hide them from their sin." I came, Jesus says, I came so that they would know sin and know their sinfulness and realize I need forgiveness for my sins. They have nothing to hide behind now. Nothing to just make them think that, well, I'm okay, I'm righteous, I'm religious, I'm okay. No, he came that people would understand I'm a sinner and be convicted of their need for Christ. If we hear the gospel and reject it, that is the most tragic, awful sin of all. If we know what Jesus Christ has done for us, but yet we reject the gift of salvation, and we refuse to believe on Jesus Christ, do you understand that that is sin? That is sin. Listen, the Holy Spirit is working in hearts to reprove the world of sin. He's working to convict and convince them of their need to believe on the Savior Jesus Christ. I believe that people truly blaspheme against the Holy Spirit of God when they resist Him. When they resist the Holy Spirit of God who's trying to woo us, trying to reprove us, trying to convict us, trying to bring us to the place of an understanding that I'm a sinner, I'm lost, and I need what Jesus Christ did for me. I think the greatest, the most awful sin we can commit is to reject God's Spirit as He's trying to woo us and draw us and convict us and convince us of our need. Listen, the Spirit of God is trying to work to persuade men. He is trying to convict men. He is trying to convince men to put their faith in Jesus Christ. Sadly, some reject. Another way in which the Holy Spirit of God reproves or convicts is in the area of righteousness. Righteousness. He reproves the world of sin, the Bible says, but also of righteousness. In Romans 4:25, it tells us that Jesus was delivered. In other words, delivered up to the cross, delivered up to Calvary. He was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. When Christ ascended back to heaven after His death and after His burial and after His resurrection, it was because He completed the work that He came to do. When He died on the cross, He took the judgment. He took the punishment for our sins that we deserved. He took the payment in full of what was necessary to save us. He was delivered up to die on the cross for our offenses, the Bible says. But listen to this. He was also raised up from the dead for our justification. For our justification. You know, a wonderful thing takes place when we put our faith in Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Our sins are subtracted from our account, and the righteousness of Christ is added. Boy, if there was a record and a record kept with all my sins, that record would be dirty and filthy and unclean. So many marks on there, so many sins on there, the sins I committed. But when I trust Jesus Christ as my Savior, a wonderful transaction takes place. God promises that all those sins are erased from my record. And instead, the righteousness of Christ is placed on my record. The righteousness of Christ is imputed unto us. The righteousness of Christ was imputed unto Abraham, the Bible teaches. Listen, Psalms even talks about it. Boy, it's a blessed man when our sins are pardoned and righteousness is imputed. Righteousness is written down on our record. Sins subtracted, righteousness added. It's important because we have no merit of our own. Listen, even our own righteousness, the Bible tells us, are as what? Many of you know the verse. Our righteousness are as filthy rags. Even our own righteousness, all our good works, all the good things we could ever do, if you add them all up, it's still as filthy rags compared to a holy, perfect God. It could get us nowhere. It can't buy us salvation or earn our way to heaven. We can only stand in God's presence because He removes our sin and He adds His righteousness to our account. He died for our sins. He was raised again for our justification. So sins could be subtracted from our record and His righteousness could be added to our record. Turn with me over to Philippians chapter 3 and verse 9. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 9 in the New Testament. Philippians 3 and verse number 9. It says, and be found in Him. Paul said in the verse before that, I've suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. Verse 9. And be found in Him. Be found in Him. Philippians chapter 3 verse 9. Be found in Him. Be found in who? Be found in Christ. Be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21 as well. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, listen to this verse. It says, for He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Doctrinally, that's one of the greatest verses in the Bible. It's an awesome verse. Who became sin for us? Jesus Christ. The one who was perfect, the one who was sinless. He became sin. He took our sin upon Himself so that we could have His righteousness. See, sin was subtracted from my record and your record when you got saved. And Christ's righteousness was added instead. The only reason we can go to heaven, the only reason we can stand in God's presence is because God subtracts our sins and He adds Christ's righteousness to our account. We cannot in pride think that our righteousness is sufficient. If we think that, listen, we'll be lost. We'll die without Christ. We'll die and go to hell if we're only trusting in our righteousness and good works. The Spirit of God convicts us, reproves of sin and of righteousness. He also reproves or convicts the world of judgment. Of judgment. Listen, we live in a judged world. We live in a judged world. The world has already been judged. Satan has already been judged. We're condemned already because of our sin. You know what? People are not just, or rather let me say it this way. People have already been judged. And in reality, people are just living out life, awaiting the execution or the completion of that judgment. The righteous judge's verdict upon sin has already been pronounced. The Bible already declares it. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. Romans makes it very clear. The judge has already decided. We are all sinners and we're condemned. We're judged because of sin. That is true. The righteous judge verdict has already been pronounced. We live in a world that has already been judged and is like a criminal that's been found guilty. We don't have the death penalty here in our country anymore, but in places that do, you know, someone might be found guilty of murder. They might go before a judge and a jury and they're found guilty of committing obviously a horrible crime. They took the life of some person. And they will be found guilty before a judge and jury. They're sent back to prison. They have a date set for when their execution is going to come. Listen, you could say about that person that they're condemned already. They've already been judged. They've already been found guilty. They're already condemned. But they're just getting to live out some days before their judgment does come, their punishment does come. And listen, that's what the world is like. People are under judgment. People are condemned already. And they're just living life out. The Bible says that in John 3. Condemned already. Listen, the judgment against all men is guilty because of our sins. And because even our own righteousness earns us nothing in the sight of a holy and perfect God. The world needs to be convicted of the fact that they're already condemned. They're already lost in their sins. They're without hope in this world except for the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's come to try to reprove men of sin, to reprove them of righteousness. Listen, even your righteousness can't do nothing. Even your righteousness can't get you to heaven. He's come to reprove the world of judgment. Truth is, you've already been judged. We've already been judged. The world's already been judged sinners. Wages of sin is death. The world needs to be convicted of the fact that they're already condemned, lost in their sins, without hope in this world, except for the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Except for the mercy and forgiveness that God offers to those who will come unto Him and be saved. Who is the Holy Spirit of God? Or what is it that the Holy Spirit of God does? Number one, He's the Comforter. And number two, He's the Reprover. He's the Reprover. You help me. What is it? What is it that the Holy Spirit does? Number one, He's the what? The Comforter. He's the Comforter. Number two, He's the what? The Reprover. The Reprover. Sounds like 75% of you are asleep, okay? Let's try it again. Number one, He's the what? The Comforter. And number two, He's the Reprover. Reprover. Number three, the Holy Spirit is our teacher. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. He's our teacher. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. While you're turning there, let me ask you again. Number one, the Holy Spirit is our what? He's our comforter. And number two, the Holy Spirit is our reprover. And number three, oh, our teacher. Very good. You're listening now. Very good. He's our teacher. He's our teacher. You get 100%. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 14. The Bible says this. But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. For God hath revealed them unto us by His what? By His Spirit. How does God reveal things to us, the things that He has for us and so on? Through His Spirit. It says, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man, which is in him? He dwells in you and me that are saved. It says, even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, the Holy Spirit, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. It says, but the natural man, who's the natural man? The natural man is the unsaved man. The natural man is unsaved. The spiritual man is saved. The Spirit of God lives in him. It says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. They're spiritually understood. Listen, when people don't have the Holy Spirit of God living in them, they will have great difficulty understanding a spiritual book. The Spirit of God, He is working to reprove and convict men of sin and of righteousness and judgment so that they'll be saved. He will work in the basics of trying to reprove people of sin and show them their need for the Savior so that they get saved. But listen, once a person gets saved, God's Spirit comes to live in us and it'll be different then. We'll be able to look at the Word of God, be able to look at the Scriptures, and we have the teacher living inside of us. We have the author of the book then living inside of us. If some of you have ever read, you know, some of those books that are just so full of symbolism and this sort of thing that it's kind of hard to understand, wouldn't you understand it better if you could sit down with the author of that book and they could explain it all to you? Well, listen, how better way then for us to learn the Scriptures than to have the author of it right there living inside of us? And the Bible describes in Corinthians here how the one who knoweth the things of God, the Holy Spirit, and the one who lives in the spirit of man, so he knows us. What better one could there possibly be to be our teacher? He's the best teacher. Some of you might be feeling today, Pastor Jonathan, you're not a good teacher. That's right, I'm not. Okay, but you know what? The best teacher of all is the Holy Spirit of God. He is a wonderful teacher, and He lives inside of you. Get yourself in the Word of God. Spend time in the Word of God. Why? So that the Spirit of God can help to teach you, help you to understand the things of God and what He has for you and your life. He's a wonderful teacher. He's a wonderful teacher. Turn with me back to John chapter 14, if you would. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. I want you to look there at verses 25 and 26. What is the Holy Spirit? Number one, He's our what? Comforter. Number two, He's our reprover. And number three, He's our teacher. Comforter, reprover, teacher. Comforter, reprover, teacher. John chapter 14, verses 25 and 26. Look at that. It says, "These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall what? He shall teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." You know what? He can do something that I can't do. He could do something Jesus said that the Spirit of God would do for them even when He was gone. He can help us to remember some things we did hear, taught. Jesus said to His disciples, "Listen, I tried to teach you some things, but I'm going to be gone. But you know what? The teacher is going to live inside of you. And you know what He's going to do? He's going to help you to remember sometimes some things that you need to remember. He's going to try to help you remember some things that I taught you," Jesus said. You know what? The Spirit of God can do the same thing for us today. There may be things as you study the Word of God, there may be things as you come to church or come to a Bible class or come to a Bible study, you sit in church and you get taught some things and you learn some things that could help you in different areas of your Christian life. But what will the Spirit of God do? He'll help you to remember it at the time that you need it. He can teach us. He can help us to remember the things that we have been taught, but we kind of forget about them, and help us to remember it right when we need it. He can remind us of those thoughts that we've been taught from the Word of God. Listen, the Holy Spirit of God is our teacher. Turn to John 16, chapter 16, verse 12. John 16 and verse 12, and this is where we're going to finish. John 16 and verse 12, it says, "I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now." Jesus was saying, you're maybe not ready to handle them yet. He says, verse 13, "Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine, and shall show it unto you." The complexity maybe of that verse, Jesus was saying, listen, the Spirit of God, He's not going to teach you something strange. He's not going to teach you something different from what I've already tried to teach you. Or He's not going to try to teach you something that's way off base or, you know, way off with the Word of God. He's going to only teach what the Father wants Him to teach. He's only going to teach what Jesus wants Him to teach. The Spirit of God is always in harmony, going to always be in harmony with the Word. Jesus is called the Word in John chapter 1. The Spirit of God is always going to be in harmony with the Word of God, always going to be in harmony with Christ and the Father. And He will teach us what we need to hear. And I love even how that verse talked about how, you know, there are things that He'd like to say. Jesus said, "There's things I'd like to say, but you cannot bear them now." There may be times where maybe, and not always, some of you would say, "Pastor, there are sometimes you say some things very boldly and some things that I don't like hearing you say." Maybe I do. But you know what? Sometimes there's things where maybe I don't say them. Maybe you're not ready to bear them now. Maybe you're not ready to handle them now. Maybe there needs to be more growing that occurs in your Christian life first before you'll be ready to hear them. But you know who lives inside of you, that teacher. He can start working in there and trying to teach you some things that maybe I'll never say. Listen to Him. When the Spirit of God, the teacher, He tries to start teaching you things that maybe the preacher even hasn't had the boldness to say or hasn't said because maybe didn't think you're able to bear it yet, able to handle it yet. Why not listen to the Spirit of God inside of you who wants to teach you, who wants to conform us into the image of Jesus Christ, who wants to make it so that your life is glorifying and pleasing to the Lord? Now, we've been predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ. And the Spirit of God wants to teach us and guide us to help us become what God wants us to become. We're going to grow in grace as we read and study and meditate on the Word of God. And we're going to grow as we allow the Spirit of God to teach us. The Spirit of God is the Spirit of truth. The Word of God is the truth. And Jesus is the truth. We'll know Jesus better and we'll understand God's Word better as the Spirit of God leads us and guides us into all truth. Spirit will exalt the Word of God and He'll exalt the Son of God in your heart and life. Will you listen to Him? What is the Holy Spirit? He's our comforter, reprover, teacher. What is He? Number one, the Holy Spirit is our comforter. Number two, He's our reprover. And number three, He's our teacher. He's the best teacher you can ever have. Why not listen to Him? If you're a child of God and you know the Spirit of God lives within you this morning, listen, you ought to be rejoicing this morning. You ought to be thankful that you are sealed, you are secure. Nobody can ever take salvation away from you. You are a child of God. If you wanted to get lost, you can't get lost from God. He saves you. He keeps you. You cannot. And I understand there's some people and places in different parts of the world that try to teach you can't lose your salvation. I don't believe that's Bible. I believe you can't get rid of Him even if you wanted to. If you are truly born again and you are truly saved, you are kept by the power of God. Christ dwells in you through His Spirit. Thank God for the Spirit living within you. And He's there for a number of reasons. But the three that we see in John 16 are, He's there to be our comforter. He wants to be with you to help you in trials and difficulties. He wants to be there when you don't have understanding and don't know what to do. He wants to help you. He's there to be your comforter. He's there to be a reprover. He reproves the unsaved in many ways, but you know what? He can also reprove us who are saved. And He can tell us, you know what? What we're doing is not right. Or what we're not doing is something we ought to be doing. I mean, He can reprove us of things we ought to be doing or things we ought not to be doing. We ought to listen to Him. And He can be our teacher. He can guide us. He can help us. Let Him accomplish in your life what He wants to accomplish. For God's glory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You so much for sending the Comforter. Sending the Holy Spirit to comfort us, to reprove us, and to teach us.